You know what that sound means? It's another episode of Game for a Movie where we ask, are you game for a movie? My name is Mike. I will be your host tonight. I am talking about a movie for Mother's Day. And I know what you're thinking to yourself. You're probably thinking, Mike, it is really freaking far past Mother's Day. Yes, it is. I came up with this idea on Mother's Day itself and thought, oh, I'll just get it done that week. Never got around to it just because of being busy with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you know, that kind of stuff. So, about 3 weeks later, I guess, I finally have your Mother's Day episode. So the goal was simple, to find a bad movie with something mother or mom in the title. I think I have found a pretty damn good example of that. But first, of course, we've got to talk about what we are drinking. I am on a binge of Cincinnati beers because we were able to visit Claire's family in Cincinnati. And we were able to get a beer from Esoteric Brewing. This is called Valkyrie. It is a Norwegian IPA. If you don't know what a Norwegian IPA is, neither do I, but it's really fucking good. That's what I will tell you. I will also say that this is the third drink of the night. I've been drinking blueberry vodka lemonades because it is the summer and that sounds delightful. I've had two so far, and that still probably wasn't enough to get through this movie. I'm going to start with something, and I've never done this before on the podcast, but I am going to start with the rating. The rating for this movie is a 0 out of 5. An absolute 0, red O's in the title card out of 5. This movie, quite possibly, and by quite possibly, I'm pretty sure it is, the worst movie I have ever seen. If you hate yourself enough, you can either get it from Hoopla or it's on Tubi for free. But I'm pretty sure to have to sit through Tubi commercials while also watching this movie might kill me. This movie is called Stacy's Mom. Yes, I am pretty confident it is a play on Stacy's Mom, the song from Fountains of Wayne. I'm not going to sing it because I don't want to owe money. And apparently neither did this movie, because Stacy's Mom by Fountains of Wayne was never played during this movie. If you want a little synopsis before I get into the actual details of it, here is the short synopsis on IMDb. When four early teenagers fall in love with their friend's mother, their homework isn't the only thing that starts to get hard. Enter prepubescent sexual angst with Tommy, Mark, Roland, and Juan as they search for manhood and try to land a woman that's not only out of their league, but in a whole other ballgame. Honestly, I think that's a pretty good description for this movie. It was directed by Patrick Sayer. He also wrote the screenplay with Cole Taylor. I really don't know anything else they might have possibly done. They are both the blank faces on IMDb, so they're not even good enough to have their own picture on it. This movie is kind of exactly what you would expect, except for the fact that the Parents Guide gave sex and nudity a mild on IMDb. That's what throws me off the most, is because I would not have been shocked in this movie if there was a ton of boobs, ton of ass, that kind of stuff when I was originally watching it. There's really none. All right, some fun facts about this film. The one I find the most amusing is that for majority of the people on this film, and this is the obvious part, this was their first feature film. However, what I think they did really well is they came in under budget. They actually stuck to the budget they said. So good for them. I'll give them some credit on that. I don't know many movies that ever actually hit budget. Usually, if anything, it's like way over budget. It balloons too much, whatever. That this movie was done and completed under budget, good for them. It's also pretty apparent why it was under budget, though, at the same time. So here we go. Let's talk about this movie, more specifically getting into the details of what happens in this movie before I tell you why this is the worst movie I've ever seen. Stacy's Mom. So first we get this intro song that it parts sounds like an on-Broadway cover. It really caught both of our attentions because Claire watched some of this with me as well. But the lyrics are, you know you need a good woman. So that is the name of the song as it runs over these animated intro credits kind of introducing the people, but not really. It's kind of going through them and like showing all these people. But we get pretty much the entire song. It is a 3-minute intro of this drawn on who's in this movie for Stacy's mom. I also said this already, but this was just a note I had that the writer also directed. So that's a good start. Usually, I won't say this is always, because sometimes there are people that can actually pull it off and everything like that. But for the most part, especially on this channel, the movies that have been written and directed by the same person, there's usually a reason why they're on this list. I have another one coming out later that not only is written and directed by the same person, but also stars the same person. There's a lot of people that I can give credit to. Alone in the Dark just came to mind because Uwe Boll, he definitely wrote, directed it. So a lot of these movies that are written, directed by the same people usually are the same quality and sometimes, not always, but sometimes qualify for this show. I also think now is a good time to remind you the qualifier for this show, at least in my opinion, it doesn't always have to be this way, but at least in my opinion, is under 40% audience and critic score, because I don't think it's right that one would be super high and one would be super low, and that would still count as a bad movie. I usually go with things that are both under 40% on both sides. This one only has an audience score and is 32%. Just to give you an idea of where we stand for this one. The very beginning is a flash forward. We don't know this in the beginning. So our characters in this movie are the four boys, Stacy and her mom, and then there's some teachers and some parents that kind of are scattered throughout. So Tommy is mowing the lawn of Stacy's house, and basically Stacy walks out first, and we get a little bit of Tommy monologuing in his head, you know, the thought process and everything. And he's like, the prettiest girl I ever saw was Stacy. And it just does a slow motion capture of Stacy. And Stacy is just like, I'll see you in the pool later. And Tommy's like, yeah, see you later. And then he monologues again. And it was just like, that was until I saw Stacy's mom, who walks out wearing nothing but like a towel around her because she just showered. And it does another slow motion. Guess which one's longer? I bet you can guess because the title of the movie isn't Stacy. It is Stacy's mom, of course. So it flashes back to 5 months earlier. 5 months earlier starts with Tommy on the phone with Mark. Mark is your stereotypical fat kid. And I say stereotypical fat kid because really he's not that big compared to a lot of other people that we see in this thing. But he is a little bigger. In the background of the scene, Mark is having breakfast. And in the background of the scene, I just want it to be known that we see Edie's. Not Wheaties, Edie's. They basically took off the W and H off of the box. And like they left the gap even. So that I guess they wouldn't get sued. But yeah, that's the beginning of Mark and his intro. And the fact that his parents offer him milk for his cereal. And he's like, nah, I'm good. And then just shoves his face into the bowl of Edie's, I'm guessing. To juxtapose that, we see the character of Uncle Dick. Uncle Dick is Tommy's uncle who has been living with them for the last 6 months because he lost his job. He's kind of become like this health nut, but he's also very hard on himself about it. And now he just kind of torments fat people. So like there's this fat guy like walking outside of their house that Uncle Dick sees, and he runs out there with a burger on fire. And like, this is 5 seconds. I don't know where he got this burger from. And the fire is terrible CGI. It looks fake as hell. And it's just like engulfing this burger. And he's just like tormenting this fat guy. And the fat guy starts crying, only to get Uncle Dick to blow out the burger. And then he grabs the burger and eats it. And then he has a heart attack and dies after a fart joke. And I say he dies because, truthfully, he never comes back into this movie. So he like either faked this heart attack or actually had one, is laying on the ground, and we never see him again. So this dude might have actually died. The next little kid friend we see is Roland, and he is talking to his older brother, Randall. Roland is a black child. I just want it to be known because this movie makes that a point. So any stereotype that I go into is mostly because this movie makes it that way. So Roland is worried about the fact that he has very hairy balls. We don't know it originally, but then he mentions about a shaver, like a razor or whatever. And Randall, his brother's just like, no, let me see it. I'm sure it's not that bad. And immediately he freaks out after seeing it and goes, it looks like you're getting sucked off by Macy Gray down that shit. This is the best line of the entire movie. It's the only one that made me like cry laughing. Everything else is ridiculous. It's the last 2 days of summer, so Tommy now goes downstairs and he sees his dad. And his dad's playing Atari. He also has his shirt unbuttoned, and the Atari joystick is very low. And he's grunting and making these noises while he's playing. It's obviously a euphemism for jerking off. Apparently his dad, his name is Richard, but that's never actually addressed in the final cut of the movie. So Richard owes Tommy money. The only reason this is important is because it comes back later and is one of the things that changes Tommy in the end. Richard doesn't pay him, and basically Tommy's just pissed about it. Then he's talking with Mark, and they're talking about this party that they're going to have that essentially they're still stuck at the kids' table. And this is where we also meet our fourth friend. Our fourth friend is Juan. Juan is a little Mexican kid played by an actor that definitely looks more Indian than Mexican, and I'm pretty sure he is, because other roles include him playing Samir in 17 again, which I'm pretty sure was an Indian role, not a Mexican role. But, you know, take the work we can get it, kid. Juan is also, he's driven up in like a shitbox car that's like barely running, that's loaded with people, and they just kind of toss him out the window as he's like on top of people. I'm not joking. Also, the closed captioning says, as he pulls up, Mexican music. Nothing else, Mexican music. Like I said, this movie buys into the stereotypes insanely. Like completely insane stereotypes. There's a part that I'm going to get to that every last character introduced in this bit is a stereotype. So these kids are all at this party. They're stuck at the kids' table, you know, and they're kind of like talking and everything and not understanding why they're at the kids' table. And just there's a lot of conversation in this movie that goes nowhere, where they're just kind of talking and it's about nothing in particular. I think they were trying to write like a real situation sometimes, but it's not actually real. Meanwhile, they have a new neighbor that is coming over to the party. Her name is Stacy. Stacy is probably the most gorgeous girl these kids have seen, because they're all kind of nerdy kids and whatever. And they make a pact right then, right there, that no woman will ever become the pinnacle of our obsessions to each other. They are standing pat that it is bros before hoes forever. Until somebody comes to pick Stacy up, and that is Stacy's mom. Stacy's mom, again, it is another slow motion introduction about Stacy's mom. And of course, in this, she even eats a hot dog. I mean, who doesn't love to see a hot mom eating a glizzy? But as Claire says at this point, she goes, she's not even attractive. And she's kind of right. Stacy's mom is, you can find her attractive, that's fine and everything like that. But I'll be honest, I agree. She's not really that attractive. Or at least in this movie, she doesn't even look that attractive. But, you know, we're supposed to feel like she is this demanding of attention woman. She is Stacy's mom of the movie. After the party, the kids go and stay in their treehouse, you know, the four boys. One of these things they do at their sleepovers is pixie stick inhaling. Of course, they make it like a cocaine line. And it needs to be said that the black kid, Roland, the only black kid, is the one who cuts the lines. And yeah, it just needed to be said. The other things they do at this is they watch movies usually, but it's not usually movies that are just for fun. It's movies where they can find boobies or sex scenes or whatever, including they watched Fatal Attraction at this particular one, which they had on VHS. And yes, I am a nerd. I will point it out. They had VHSs the first time they do one of these sleepovers, and they have DVDs the rest of the times. Do they have a DVD player and a VHS player up there? I don't know. I want to know, and that is bugging the shit out of me as the nerd I am. They wake up from the sleepover, and of course, they draw attention to the fact that two of the boys' sleeping bags are kind of pitching a tent. The first one you see that's revealed is Mark, who just happens to have a soda bottle under his sleeping bag. The other one is Tommy, and he does not know what to do. And Mark gives him the advice to just rub it out. That will make you feel better, and that'll make it go away. So Tommy actually gets up and stands in the corner and starts rubbing one out, while Juan and Roland also wake up. And Roland, who's been having the problems with his hair, now has a beard that has grown overnight. And the joke the entire time for this entire movie is that Roland is just going through the changes faster than anybody. So he gets that beard and borrows a razor from Richard, Tommy's dad, to get rid of the beard in the next scene. This was the last day of summer, so now the boys, unfortunately, they have to go back to school. And wouldn't you know it, let's have a little like 10-minute scene of them just introducing the teachers and all their quirks and everything like that. There's the science teacher who has his wife's finger in a jar for no reason. There's the history teacher that is 112 years old that apparently they had to revoice, and it's the voice of the producer that is talking for him in that whole scene. And then there's the Asian lady who is in charge of English. And we've got Professor Wood, who is the sex ed teacher. He's just kind of comes across as a real creep. And finally, one of the guys is Joey Diaz. Joey Diaz is Professor... he's not Professor. He's Frankie the Teach. Joey Diaz, if you don't know who we're talking about, he is basically a mafia actor is what I would call him. Like, you've seen him before in a mafia role. He's been in The Many Saints of Newark. He's Big Tony in The Longest Yard, the new remake. He's been in a ton of stuff. You've probably seen him in something. Well, Frankie the Teach likes to say the F-bomb at these kids a ton and just kind of swear and call them a bunch of different things, really. Like, He likes to push the envelope with things you can probably say to students. He also, I would say, is the one person in this movie that you might recognize. Everybody else in this movie, I don't think there's anybody that I really recognize at all. There's also the music teacher, who is Professor Alfred Von Bob. Alfred Von Bob, we have seen before in this movie. He came to the party as well to pick up Stacy, because he is dating Stacy's mom. So the boys the entire time are kind of mad at Alfred Von Bob, because they're like, this guy, how does he pull off a teacher, or how does he pull off a hottie like this? This guy, really? So that's part of this movie as well. This whole thing of the rundown of the weird teachers, I just feel like the writers and the directors were thinking, like, this is so relatable. Look at this. We're going to run this. It was 10 minutes long. Like, it's one thing if they just made it quick and they just run through all these teachers and everything like that. They made it so long that none of it was funny and none of it was relatable. Everything about it just felt like it was torture, really. Well, after the first day, Stacy is talking with the boys and just kind of like asking him how the day was and everything. And she loves school because, of course, it's Stacy. She's a good girl. She likes to get good grades and make her life easier in the end. She wants to go to a good college, everything like that, even though I'm pretty sure this is junior high is what they said at the end of this thing. And the boys, of course, are just agreeing with her because they want to agree with her. And then Stacy's mom comes to pick her up. And she has a convertible, a white convertible. And she steps out and is like saying hi to the boys and everything. She recognizes them from the party. They also kind of went swimming at one point before the summer was over. But it wasn't really that big a scene, so I wasn't making a big deal of it. But she recognizes the boys and she knows all their names and everything like that. And knows their personalities, you know, as a good friend mom does. That's the thing. So a lot of this is going to be like awkward and everything like that, but it's not awkward from her perspective, I think. I think she's just doing the right thing, like being the like parent who kind of knows your daughter's friends and everything. I do also kind of find it weird that Stacy just hangs out with four boys, but you know, whatever. I mean, that's your choice, I guess. Well, as she gets out of her car, all the boys apparently have the same fantasy at the same time of her just like undoing her shirt and revealing her boobs. You don't actually see the boobs. No, they make an American Beauty reference where it's just like rose petals flying out at them. The thing is as well, the CGI on the rose petals is bad too, where it's just obviously like done in Microsoft Paint. That's how bad it is. It's just, it's blatantly obvious how bad these petals are. They don't look real at all or anything like that. And they all are having the same fantasy and like try to move the petals out of the way. And then it flashes to them still trying to get the petals out of the way. But it's like real life where Stacy and Stacy's mom have already left. And they're just all like trying to bat away these petals that aren't there anymore. So now it's at least a couple days later. The boys are all playing at Tommy's house, you know, having a good time, everything like that. They're talking a little bit. Stacy's mom steps out of the house and she like waves at them, says, "Hi, boys," and like gets in her car and leaves. Tommy notices that she left the door open and he, wanting to be this upstanding gentleman, wants to close it for her so that nobody can break into their house. The other boys think it's a great opportunity to sneak into Stacy's mom's house. Not even like 10 seconds in to being in the house, Roland and Mark are having a fight with dildos. And there's a point where they even like turn it on. They're all vibrating. They rub it against their faces and they even like say it smells funny. But originally they are playing dildo lightsabers and they do the scene from Star Wars where he loses his arm and it was actually kind of funny. But yeah, then they start rubbing dildos on their face. Yeah. And they even make a joke that it smells funny. So it's just, it's, you know, cool. Good humor. Tommy's just like, "We need to get out of here. We need to find Juan. Where is he?" So they walk into her bedroom because these dildos were in the bathroom. They walk into the bedroom and Juan pops out of the closet and he is wearing like four bras wrapped around him and scares the boys. Also, Mark decides he wants to see what it's like on the bed, so he crawls under the bed and does, like, sexual positions, which they do, like, this whole scene of, like, they do snapshots of him just, like, grinding on this bed. If you don't feel uncomfortable yet, good for you, because I already felt very uncomfortable at this point. They get stuck in the house as they hear Stacy's mom comes back and basically hide, trying to get out of there without being caught. And as they're hiding, Juan realizes one of the bras is stuck on his shoe. And so he tries to kick it off and he kicks it in the middle of the hallway. And Stacy's mom walks right past them, picks up the bra, doesn't even look either way, and then just walks upstairs and puts it back. Just no big deal, just your bras are everywhere, you know, as you do. So yeah. That happens and they get out scot-free and there's no problems because, you know, it's the boys. They're just, boys will be boys. There's a couple things we're getting up to in this movie, but now seems like a good time to take a break and give a shout out to the people that guessed our bad movie correctly. That is Porn Stash Podcast J. Obviously, he is part of the Porn Stash Podcast. It is three guys who have comedic conversations about stories from around the world and porn. It is a two-time AVN-nominated podcast, and it is 18+, not safe for work. You can follow them at PornStashCast, or you can follow their Step Bro account at PornStashWWYD. They have some of the best interviews if you are into these kind of things. I will say, again, this is 18+, but if you do like some good porn talk, they have some great interviews with some porn stars and people in the industry. So be sure to check out the Porn Stash podcast. You can find them at Porn Stash Cast or at Porn Stash WWYD. Thank you guys very much for playing and getting it correct. I know you guys, Jay especially, you have jumped on several times trying to get it right. So I am very glad that you were able to get it this time. So congratulations, Jay. Listen to the Porn Stash podcast wherever you find your podcasts. So here comes the whole crux of the movie. This is the part where everything starts to happen. Basically, all the boys want to try to impress Stacy's mom, and they all go about it with different ways. So the first way is that Tommy goes to the sex ed teacher, whose name is Professor Wood. And originally, I just thought that was crazy on its own. And then he told him to call himself Harry. So Tommy is talking to a sex ed professor called Harry Wood. How this movie didn't win an Oscar for writing, I will never know. I will say that Professor Wood gives me the creeps. And Tommy's trying to explain to him, it's like a common misconception where he's just kind of like, yeah, I want to impress this girl. Oh, okay. And so you want to, you're not using a rubber. Oh my God. Like it's a complete misunderstanding every time. And finally, Tommy gets his point across and is just like, no, I want to know how to like make a woman happy and everything like that. And Professor Wood, instead of, you know, like, giving him suggestions about taking her to a nice restaurant or something like that, you know, date stuff, that kind of thing, he gives Tommy a bunch of porn and porn magazines that the boys all then in the treehouse go and watch, of course, or read, including there's some magazines that Juan sees that basically he sees that he needs to change himself in order to be the perfect ladies' man. And this is the part where I said that they had DVDs instead of VHS. Yeah, that bugged the shit out of me because now they're playing a DVD player. This is also the part where I will say, if you were watching this movie because you wanted to see boobs or something like that, you may glimpse 5 seconds worth of boobs in this scene because they have porn on and they kind of show it small screen in the screen, you know. You may see like 5 seconds of boobs if that's what you're watching this movie for. So here's your 5 seconds of boobs. Good luck. All of them have come up with basically the same plan. They want to do something to better themselves, to make themselves stand out. So one of the things that Mark does is Mark goes to ask for help from Uncle Dick, who can't help but call him Jabba the Hutt or Butterball or all of these mean names because he's fat phobic. Mark wants to go to Uncle Dick to ask him about health help. He wants to start losing some weight. He wants to get healthier and that kind of stuff. And like, basically he breaks it down to Uncle Dick just saying like, and like, I just dream of holding her massive breasts. And Uncle Dick can totally relate and is like, okay, cool. I'll help you out. I've said at this point, the adults in this movie are just absolutely terrible. Tommy's dad is a piece of shit who just plays video games all the time and won't pay him back money that he owes him. Uncle Dick is fat phobic and just makes fun of fat people the entire movie. Professor Wood gave porn to children. We got Frankie the Teach who's just swearing at these kids, which is like the lowest, worst part of this movie. I don't get it. I don't get why these humans or these adults are such pieces of shit. And meanwhile, I'll also say, again, there's people that might be saying, like, well, Stacy's mom didn't, like, turn down any of these boys or anything like that. I see it totally from her angle where she's just being a supportive mom to her daughter's friends. Like, I totally see that. So she's probably the best adult in this, while the rest of them are just absolute garbage. But, you know, whatever. I'll say, except for Von Bob. Von Bob is kind of just like, he's just doing his thing and being a normal person. And the boys just hate him because, you know, he's dating Stacy's mom. Like I said, Tommy's dad owes him money. And basically, he says to Tommy, all right, fine. If you mow the lawn and do a good job, I will pay you your $10 back along with another $10. And then he says $25 is a lot to a kid your age. And I just want it to be known that's not mathing. But whatever, Tommy takes that and is like, okay, fine. So he starts mowing the lawn. And Stacy comes up to him and is saying, hey, Tommy, do you want to come to our house and like go swimming with me after you're done with your lawn? And he's like, yeah, I just need to finish this. But yeah, I'll totally be over. And like not really giving her the time of day. And Stacy's mom is also there, like across the street, and saying like, oh, look at you, like, getting paid to mow the lawn and everything. That's a good business acumen. I wish that I could, I'd pay you to mow our lawn too. And Tommy goes, yeah, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. And Stacy's mom's like, great. Yeah, cool. So he offers to mow their lawn as well. So he's going to mow the lawns and then go swimming with Stacy. Stacy also asked him at this point if he was going to the Natty Hawkins dance that they are having. Wasn't it Sadie Hawkins? Like, isn't it a Sadie Hawkins dance? Can they not say Sadie Hawkins? They had to say Natty Hawkins dance in this movie. Is that like a trademark term? Why did they change the name of the dance? This is a common dance that people have. Like, could you not say homecoming? Would you have to say like domain return? Like what is it with this? When he's mowing their lawn, we have come full circle to the beginning of this movie. Also, we have learned that Roland's voice is now deeper. He woke up and he has a beard again and his voice is deeper, which he's talking with his brother about. And his brother Randall has given him the advice that he needs to get in touch with his sensitive side a little more because he's changing and everything like that. And he's also given him the advice because Roland says he has eyes for this one girl, but she won't go to the dance with him. We all know it's Stacy's mom. And Randall has said, basically, invite anybody else because then when they see you with some other girl, they'll get jealous and want to be with you. So the advice in this movie so far, learn what women want by watching porn, lose weight because you're fat, get in touch with your sensitive side, ask other women out so they can see you with other people and be jealous, or do yard work all the time trying to prove that you can do something. I don't know, because that's all Tommy is doing for this part of the movie is he is just doing yard work. So all these boys are doing these things, basically. Uncle Dick is putting Mark through the ringer, running and push-ups and stuff like that, calling him a butterball, Jabba, whatever. This is all in a montage, all of this stuff happening. So that's what Mark is doing. Roland is learning how to cook. He's made his own garden so he can use fresh ingredients, that kind of stuff, including he impresses Frankie the Teach by cooking some crawfish and sausage pasta. Yes, crawfish and sausage pasta. You heard me correctly. Which is not, in my mind, trying to be a stereotype, but being that it's this movie, I actually think that is. And then Tommy is doing yard work around the house to constantly be around Stacy and Stacy's mom, of course. They all arrive at school one day at the same time as Stacy and Stacy's mom. And Stacy's mom is talking with all of them and realizing, like, Tommy, like, look at you. You have so much money now. You bought your own bike. You have your own, like, cell phone. You're texting people and mowing lawns and everything like that. I'm so proud of you for all your business acumen. And he's, of course, like, proud of himself and, you know, trying to show off and everything like that. Meanwhile, Mark runs in and Stacy's just like, you're jogging. And, like, Stacy's mom's, Mark, good job. Like, you're doing so good. Look at you getting healthy and everything like that. And then finally, Roland comes in and he had like brought flowers to give to Stacy's mom, the most beautiful woman he's seen. And she's kind of like now getting a little, okay, what? But he's being super nice and everything. But it's just like, look at you being a little gentleman, Roland. Like, this is great. Oh, you boys are doing so well. But we haven't heard from Juan in a while. What the hell could Juan be doing? Well, Juan saw in one of those magazines that girls love like bad boys. So all of a sudden you just hear more Mexican music, according to closed captioning. And it's a lowrider with spinning rims and bouncing and everything like that. And it's like two guys that are like obvious gangbangers. Like they're not hiding it. It's the stereotypical gangbangers, and they let Juan out of the back seat because they have to like push the chair up and everything like that. It's one of those, it's two doors, that kind of thing. And Juan like walks up and is like yelling at people like, yo, Holmes, and stuff like that. And he gets mad at Tommy because Tommy is taking work from Juan's dad by mowing all the lawns in the neighborhood. Yes, that is the thing. He's mad because that. Yep. And basically, he says something stupid to Stacy's mom. And I don't remember exactly what. I didn't write it down. And Stacy's mom's just like, whoa, Juan, I miss the little gentleman. Like, what are you doing? This is not okay. And Juan realizes, like, he's screwed up. And he's going to get better. And this basically takes him out of the Stacy's mom sweepstakes in the boys' minds, obviously. Obviously, none of them have a chance. We all know where this is going. The boys, the three boys, because Juan's kind of like taking time for himself. He's like sitting in the bathroom all day feeling sorry for himself. The three boys go to talk to the sex ed professor, Professor Harry Wood, to talk about this girl and everything like that. And they admit that it's Stacy's mom. And Professor Wood keeps trying to say that basically she's a porn star. It's obvious that's what he's trying to say, but they keep cutting him off. And they get mad at Professor Wood and are just like, yeah, we'll show you, dude. It's fine. We'll show you. We got this. We don't need your help. As they're walking away, Stacy, with two of her friends, comes up and invites the three guys to the dance. Obviously not Juan, because Juan's on his own. Stacy wants to take Tommy, this other girl takes Mark, and then another black girl, a little black girl, takes Roland, and her name is Latoya. I just, again, it feels stereotypical, and that's the only reason I'm making comments about this is because it's just, this basic level of writing just is terrible. All three of these kids have like the moment in the mirror just trying to say like, yeah, I'll show her. I'll be looking my best and everything like that. And then there's one that was just like, man, I got nobody. It's just so sad for Juan. Like, he's just the comedic relief, but it just feels so bad for him. Well, they all go to the dance, and there's like 20 people at this dance. It's supposed to be the whole school, but it's like 20 people. There's almost nobody. You recognize everybody from the same classes, everything like that. Frankie the Teach spikes the punch. Mark, because he's not drinking punch because it has too much sugar, gets some for his date, who ends up getting drunk and is like drunk talking to him the whole time. Roland is with Latoya. And Juan is sitting at the snacks just going, Juan is the loneliest number. It's such a stupid joke. It's so good. And of course, somebody walks up to Juan and is just like, hey, would you like to dance with me? And wouldn't you know it, her name's Maria. Yes, she is also Hispanic. Because why not? Why not at this point? They're all having a great time until finally the chaperones get there. The chaperones, well, besides the teachers, the chaperones that were late are Von Bob and Stacy's mom. Tommy walks away from Stacy as she's about to admit that she likes him a lot. And Tommy walks to Stacy's mom and asks her to dance. And like he thinks they're having a moment, and then Roland cuts in. And then Mark cuts in, and they all realize that they've just, like, completely screwed it because none of them really had a chance. Meanwhile, Von Bob, goes on stage to talk about the fact that he, the first class he teaches is stage fright, but this is the most nervous he's ever been. And he proposes to Roberta, that is Stacy's mom's name, Roberta, on stage. He proposed at the school dance in front of like 20 people. I am not a woman that has ever had to go through a proposal process, but I'm pretty confident if you propose to me at a school dance that you are chaperoning in front of a bunch of junior high schoolers, I would kick you in the dick and walk away. That's just me. Maybe I'm wrong. I've never done it before, so I don't know. And the boys all realize that, like, she says yes, and they realize, well, we're stupid. We screwed up. All the girls have walked away from them because they walked away from the girls. And that's it. So they're sitting outside, all four boys, because Juan now is like trying to cheer them up. And he's now met this Maria, so he's like living large. He's happy. The other three boys are like beside themselves. And Professor Wood sees them and goes, guys, it looks like your hearts are broken. It didn't go how you planned. Don't worry. I've got something for you to make it better. And he gives them a box of porn with Stacy's mom in all of these pornographies. Now you can see her anytime you want. What? Why? The sex ed teacher, A, knows that she was in porn. And now just gave you a box of porn with your friend's mom in it. Make this movie make sense. Make it make sense. And then it flashes to 3 months later. The boys are pretending to throw a football. They're really like, oh, nice throw, Juan. That was a great one. Great catch. Yeah, good job. Hey, are you guys going to the wedding? They all got invited to the wedding. And Tommy is looking for approval to ask if Stacy and him can go together. And all the boys are like, yeah, that's fine. He's going to date Stacy now, possibly. I mean, most likely, but possibly. And that's it. That's the end of the movie. First thing I got is these kids are douches. Like, they really are. They all are douches. If they just listened to anybody in this movie that wasn't an adult, I would say, they would have been just fine. Tommy, it was obvious that Stacy liked you, and you could have been happy, but you instead fucked around and found out. All these guys, I understand the idea of being in love with somebody older than you. I do, because we all had that person. We all had that teacher. We all had that whatever. But there's a difference between having a crush on them and then realizing you'll never get them. I can tell you right now, one of my English teachers, I had a thing for. But I always knew there was never a chance. And that's the thing that I don't get from this movie is because they know they have a chance. Like they're so sure of themselves and everything like that. It never was going to work out, boys. I'm sorry. That's not it. I also said this movie was dedicated to someone at the end, and that just feels wrong on some level because of how bad it was and because of what the topic was of this. Maybe I'm the asshole for that, but I feel like that was ridiculous that they dedicated this movie to someone. But you know, whatever, that's just me. And Stacy's mom, of course, was not played once. I'm not shocked because of how the budget was. So there was no Stacy's mom played in that movie at all. The adults are all assholes. The kids are little douchebags, like the boys at least. The girls, I have nothing wrong with the girls. I've explained my thoughts on Stacy's mom / Roberta. The fact that she just seems like she's trying to be a good mom to her daughter and like gain to know her friends and everything like that. I understand that. That makes sense somewhat. I mean, there's some things that she did that was just kind of like, okay, you're an idiot. Like dancing with the kids, I don't get that at all because like, no. And then your sex ed teacher and the swearing and everything like that. it just feels like lazy script writing overall. The stereotypes in this, the generic dialogue, the times where they just like the teacher montage was ridiculous, where it was just obvious they were killing 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it was. It was just obvious. They weren't trying to say anything new or like nuanced or subtle or anything like that. They were just, this was in their head and they just wanted to put it out there. I don't know. That was the killer of this movie for me. That was the turning point, I think, for me, where I could say this movie is the worst movie I've ever seen. Because it was just obvious they were trying to fill some time. Make this movie at least a little longer than it was. Yeah, it was. This one hurt. This one honestly hurt. Normally, there's at least something in these bad movies where I can laugh a little bit or something like that. And there was 2-3 lines that were, like, funny. But then the rest of the time, I'm literally hitting my head going, what is going on? Why? Why are we doing this? So, yeah, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. I give you no stars, and may God have mercy on your soul. I know Mitchell would give it a Mitchell Zero because, like, you made a movie and that's, like, really tough and everything like that. I respect the movie making process. This wasn't it, man. This wasn't it. Whoever let these people make a movie, how dare you? How dare you? Yeah, it was very obvious this was the first movie for a lot of these people on this. It was also very obvious that, like, they had a heading, which was, we're going to call this Stacy's Mom based on the Fountains of Wayne song. That's what they wanted to do. Congratulations. I mean, you made a story based on a song title. And I mean, it is, if you listen to the words of the actual song, like, it is basically the plot of the song. But there's so many other ways you could have gone with it too, that would have been just, I guess, better and less mean. Like, the fat phobic stuff, I get it that we thought for a long time that, like, oh, the fat kid is hysterical. Yeah, like, oh, fatty, that kind of stuff. This is just so much meaner and so much worse on this, because he constantly, like, that's just his character. That is Uncle Dick. And then the other stereotypes in this movie are also ridiculous, where it's just like, what are we doing with this? So yeah, I give it 0. Obviously, I've made that abundantly clear. This is definitely the worst movie I've seen. Happy Mother's Day to everybody that may have been in a coma since before Mother's Day, because obviously I'm 3 weeks late on that. But, you know, Happy Mother's Day. Father's Day is this weekend. I'm hoping to have a more timely episode, but I want to know from you. Reach out at Game for a Movie everywhere. We almost lost our Instagram, but we're still on Instagram, surprisingly, because Mike got his page hacked. I still don't have a Facebook right now. So, you know, that's great. Reach out to us, Game for a Movie, on Twitter, Instagram, anything else, Threads, TikTok. I want to know the worst movies with dad or father or even daddy. I hate that word. God, I hate that word. Even daddy in the title. So I think I've got a couple nominees, but I would like to hear from you guys as well. As I said before, my usual go-to is under 40% audience and critics rating for on Rotten Tomatoes for movies. But if you have something that is just on the edge and you think this is a piece of shit that needs to be talked about, I am happy to do that as well. Yeah, I've got some real stinkers ready, but if you have good suggestions, let me know, because I would love to listen to you guys and do a Father's Day episode on a movie with dad, daddy, father, anything like that for Father's Day coming up this week or next week, whatever it is. I'll have it ready for then. Yeah. That was the Game for a Movie podcast talking about Stacy's Mom, the worst movie I've seen ever. Congratulations, you got through it. I do this for you, so you don't have to. If you'd like to put yourself through this hell because you hate yourself or whatever, it is free on Tubi. You can do it. I believe in you. But I will also say, get a good drink on before you do it. So yeah. Thank you guys very much for tuning in to the Game for a Movie podcast, where we ask, are you game for a movie? I will see you next time to talk about a bad dad movie, probably. Or another movie that I have in the tank. It's Poker Face, starring Russell Crowe, written by Russell Crowe, and directed by Russell Crowe. So, you know, that's another great one as well. So, see you next time on the Game for a Movie podcast, where we ask, are you game for a movie? I've been Mike. Goodbye.